I'll be reading from Proverbs 12, verse 4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is like rottenness in his bones.
Good morning. Thank you, brother. Hard to get started without that. You know, we have so many people traveling today, I thought, well, I'm going to have anybody at church. But hey, we've got a good crowd, and we're going to have part three of the series, kind of that we've, a series within a series, what would you call that, a sub-series? Okay. A noble, excellent, virtuous wife. This is the third and final issue, part of this thing, okay? Now, before I get started, I want to say this. This study about a wife here, I have just absolutely loved it. I think I've learned more than anybody by studying it myself. I don't know. I hope you ladies are going to grow as a result, but I think I certainly have, and that's a good thing. I have really, really enjoyed knowing what a strong, godly woman ought to be. You know, and I think, personally, we have quite a few strong, godly women here. That's a blessing, an unmistakable blessing to this church. Now, let me get started by saying this. My older sister, her name was Sunday. Isn't that a pretty cool name? Only heard that one other time, and my wife showed it in some picture some lady she found on the newspaper or something the other day. Anyway, that's beside the point. Sunday, my sister, she won the Miss Congeniality contest, okay? And therefore, she was going to get to ride in the Inola Parade, called the Heyday Parade. Now, I don't know if any of you ladies have ever get the chance for that, but, well, she come home with a crown, you know, because people that win those sort of things, they're riding in a parade, they wear a crown, right? Man, she put that crown on her head and she showed us, and I remember her face, how it just lit up from one side to the other. And I come around the corner, and you know, sometimes you don't want to get caught looking in the mirror. Oh, she was in there, you know, just looking in the mirror, you know how girls do. Well, we've been reading this verse that an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. So I got to thinking about crowns, and I thought, you know, crowns really kind of represent a lot of different things, depending on what you're thinking about. For example, glad you asked. Anybody know what this is? Specifically, it's a crown Victoria. Back in different years, that represented a position of class, okay? Anybody know what that is? Can you read it? Miss USA. She's wearing a crown of beauty, right? You're wondering where all these are going, don't you? Now that is a drop of water hitting a puddle, making a little crown. When I think about that, I think about a crown of natural wonder. That is not my mouth. That's a crown put on the tooth, a crown of protection. Now I debated about doing this, but I'm just going to do it. Now, I hope you don't recognize what this is, okay? This is some kind of whiskey or something called Crown Royal for people that need to escape reality, people that want to get off into sinfulness, that sort of thing. I'm not recommending any of these, by the way. This one is what? A crown of thorns represents shame. What about this one? The crown that a king might wear, right? What? What? Royalty, right. Importance, right? To today I would like to remind us that God Himself has placed crowns among us. Crowns of excellent, noble, virtuous wives. These crowns are placed in our lives. They represent strength and they represent honor. So, for all of you ladies who are considering the applicable nature of these sermons to yourself, you understand that you hold a place of importance and honor. God has assigned you that. And for all of us men who are listening as well, I think it's important for us to understand that our wives hold important places in our lives, and they should be honored. So, we are in Proverbs chapter 31, picking up in verse 24, and going to hopefully make it through the end. We will make it through the end this morning. Proverbs 31, verse 24. And I'll just call your attention, because we have a few visitors who were not here for the start of this. We picked up in Proverbs 31, verse 10, where it says, an excellent wife who can find for her worth is far above rubies. The writer here brings up the fact that women are to be strong. If you do a study on the Hebrew word, the reason why I have up here excellent, noble, virtuous, that's three of the major translations, but the word means strength. God has made the women to be women of strength. So picking up with that idea in verse 24. Verse 24 says that she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Now there's probably two things in view here, or at least a couple of possibilities. First of all, the strong wife sees a need in her family. And like many families today that are family of any size, sometimes financial things get to be a consideration. I've got three boys, and those three boys in the last year have doubled their eating. You know, financial things can come up. Well, this woman, she's been attentive to that. And she has stepped out and applied her talents to earn some extra income for the family to help take care of the family. Secondly, the word belt in this passage. You know, when you go down here and you go, you know, I'm walking around at the mall when I'm forced to by my wife, you know. I'm down there and I walk around, see the ladies, they walk out of Yonkers and places like that, and they've got these classy little belts on, you know, that make all these statements, you know, about who you are and all that. Well, this isn't that kind of belt. The Hebrew word here is girdle. Okay? Girdles do one thing. Okay, girdles may do several things. But girdles' primary function is to hold yourself in, right? That's what girdles are for. Here, when it's talking about the tradesmen and their belt, it's a utilitarian belt. It's something that's needed to hold your pants up, to hold your midsection in. It's something that's needed. And the wife has saw that out here in the community, and not only is she making money to help with the home, she's also supplying or meeting a need in the community. You know what? We have women who reach out to the community, and I think that's a wonderful thing. The strong wife is found to be giving at every turn, always considering the needs of her family and constantly looking at ways to use her God-given abilities. Well, a strong wife also clothes herself with dignity and strength. The rest of verse 31 says, strength and dignity are her clothing. Now, when you mention clothing, there's just one thing that pops into my mind. I'm just going to put it out there. You go back to Genesis chapter 3, you see Adam and Eve, they've sinned, they've done the wrong thing, they realize that they were naked, and what do? They sewed some fig leaves together and made themselves covering, right? But before chapter 3 is done, let's see, verse 21, specifically verse 21, you see God making them different clothing. The clothing that they had made for themselves wasn't proper, wasn't adequate, wasn't right. So God steps in and changes the clothing. Now you know clothes do several things for us, okay? Talking about physical clothing, and I'm going to switch here in a minute, okay? Talking about physical clothing. First of all, clothing hides our nakedness. Definitely something that sometimes our world needs to work on, hiding their nakedness. Well, clothes also provide a covering for us to protect us from the elements. Sun, the wind, the rain. So they're protective in nature. Well, then, clothes also kind of make a statement about who we are. Now, you women can identify with this. I really don't care. I could wear overalls and I wouldn't care, okay? I may do that next Sunday. Would that be all right? Okay. If I come into church here today and my shirt was untucked and my shirt was all wrinkled and my tie was half cocked to the side and drooping and I wasn't shaven, what would you think about me? You might think that I'm a guy that's just not applying myself very much. On the other hand, if you see me come in with some Italian leather shoes, you haven't seen that, don't worry. But if I did, and I had on an Armani suit, you might think, man, he's up there. He might even be a little bit ostentatious or arrogant. Ostentatious, that's what I'm going to say. Well, from time to time, I see Yaw and Evelyn, and they're not here today, but they wear the clothes of their culture. And I just absolutely, when they got married, for a few people here that were here at their marriage ceremony about 150 years ago, whenever it was, they wore that cultural garments, you know. It was just really neat. It really spoke about who they were and what they were about. So clothes sometimes talk about what a person's about. But the clothing in view in this text is not literal clothing, but it's figurative. It's talking about the things that make up who this woman is as a person. This strong, noble wife, she has clothed herself, first of all, in the text, with strength. And you know, strength is not just something you go to your wardrobe and you say, oh yeah, I think I'll wear that today. Strength comes with a lot of thought. And you know, we're people, we live in a society that we don't like to think about anything. We want to drive up to Burger King, we don't even want to say the words, hamburger and fries, I want number one. I want number two. You know what I'm saying? Strength takes some continual activity of mind. First of all, it takes an examination of yourself. It takes an analyzing of your life approach. It takes some consideration between the difference of strength and weakness and where that line is. Clothing yourself with strength, ladies and men, is a continual battle that takes deliberate effort. Clothing yourself with strength also means recognizing your weaknesses. Putting your weaknesses out there, claiming them, owning up to them, and with purpose of mind, desiring to do something about them. But ladies, we live in a society today where it's not okay to do that. Don't admit your weaknesses. Come across like everything's okay. That's not God's strong lady at all. This strong lady has also clothed herself with honor. You know, some words in our society today have been lost. Honor, dignity. We use the word heroes in today's time to describe basketball players, baseball players, football players. My, oh my, what a terrible thing. You talk about these people that can play ball, and I'll show you a godly woman that's a real hero. A godly woman, a godly wife, who has applied herself in matters of godliness time in and time out, choosing to do the right things, man, with honor comes hard work. Strong godly women have applied themselves. Strong godly women have put their personal desires to aside. You know, being honorable is not always fun. I remember when I was in high school, a bunch of my friends, my senior year, wanted to go out, and I still can't believe this. They wanted to go out and steal a bunch of, you know these signs you put in the yard if you're selling your home? When we was about to graduate, a bunch of my knot-headed friends wanted to go steal a bunch of these signs. I refused to go. Just on a matter of principle, I thought it's wrong to steal, and I'm not going to have any part of it. So my knot-headed friends went out and did this. And they got caught. One is now a judge. I heard that part too. One's the president of a large company.
Quite interesting.
I think my position now exceeds theirs. I'm just a humble servant. My point is, a strong, godly woman surrounds herself with strength and honor. She understands, though, that honor comes at the hand of God. And she seeks His good pleasure with every fiber of her being. Like most women's choice of literal clothing, she takes the clothing of virtue very seriously. She doesn't just take any kind of hand-me-downs when it comes to virtues. Now let me tell you what I'm talking about. You know, when we grow up in a home, our mother and father teaches us things. And as children, we want to apply ourselves to the teachings of our parents. But you know, sometimes when you get a little bit older, you recognize that mom and dad might not have always taught you the right thing. So you got to go back and you got to kind of do some thinking about that. And a godly woman does that. A godly woman doesn't just take any instruction, but she weighs it all out, carefully applying herself in the matters of godliness. Her desire is proper spiritual dress before God. And I find that pretty good. Verse 25 says that she smiles at the future. A strong godly woman has a positive outlook. She doesn't move about all day in dread. She doesn't wake up rolling her eyes going, oh, another day. I wish that I was anywhere else but here. Now, I'm not saying that a person doesn't ever feel those kind of feelings, but a strong, godly woman looks to the positive things, and when she looks to the future, she smiles. Why? It's one thing not to dread, and it's a whole other thing to look at the future and smile about it. She smiles, folks, because she's spiritually clothed. Ladies, when you have the right spiritual clothes on, you know that everything's going to work out okay. You trust in God, and you let that be your driving motivation for your life. You know what? I can learn from that, and I'm not a lady, right? Are you men catching this, that a lot of these things apply to us too? The attitude is part of her strength, and she uses it to help her family through life. She sees the positive in things. We said before that her glass wasn't half full. Her glass wasn't half empty for sure. It wasn't half full, but her cup was overflowing in the Lord. Verse 26 says that she shares her knowledge. Says that she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. First of all, the text says that the strong wife opens her mouth in wisdom. What's wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to understand and communicate and apply what's right and what's true. Some folks have thought that wisdom is something born, something that you have, or something that you don't have. I want to suggest that that's wrong. I think that wisdom, church, according to the Bible, is something that's developed. So, in other words, we don't say, hey man, I just wasn't born with the gift. That person, they've got the ability, I don't. God says, look all you godly women, you've got the ability. You just got to step up to the plate with the desire and apply yourself in the matters of wisdom, because wisdom is developed. Wisdom is developed from an attitude of learning. Wisdom is developed from listening to others. Wisdom is developed from asking questions. Wisdom is developed from meditation, thinking things over, seeking the application. Wisdom is learned or developed from looking for what's missing or where you're coming up short. Wisdom is developed from considering areas of misunderstanding. Wisdom is developed from trial and error sometimes. You know, it's amazing to me that there are people in life that don't want to try something because they don't want to fail. A strong, godly wife's never afraid to try something. I remember when Charity and I first got married, and she's back there going, oh, no, not again. I come home from work, and I bought her this little white Labrador puppy, little bitty thing. And I come home from work, the door's wide open, and they're sitting out there on the porch together. And I see it kind of, you know, shoulders slung down, you know. I walk up to the door, I smell something, there's smoke coming out of the house. Well, she had tried to make bread and it didn't work. I think she threw it out in the pasture and it killed a cow. I mean, but Charity didn't let that stop her. Charity didn't say, can't do it. I'm just not about that. God didn't give me the gift. No, she went on to apply herself. And I'll tell you, she's the best cook here today. Sorry, the rest of you ladies. This... James chapter 1, verse 5 is the epicenter of wisdom. If anyone lacks wisdom, James says, let him ask of God. A godly woman, a strong, godly wife, she's asking God for wisdom. Ladies, if you're not about that, you're just not going to be where you need to be. When it says that she opens her mouth in wisdom, wow, did somebody move that clock forward? Oh, I got it upside down. When it says that she opens her mouth in wisdom, it also, I think, implies that she knows when to keep her mouth shut. That's a true mark of wisdom for man, woman, child, or anyone. This woman knows when to be quiet. She knows when to take things in and not just give things out. You've heard the proverb, I guess, that says that it's better to remain silent and be thought of as a fool rather than open your mouth and remove all doubt. You've heard that, haven't you? Something we can all learn from, I'm sure. Proverbs 24, verse 14 says, "Know that wisdom is thus for the soul. If you find it, then there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off." It's no wonder godly women can look to the future and smile. They've placed their trust in God. They've asked God to supply their needs in wisdom. Also, the strong godly wife teaches kindness. It's important to note here that she has embraced kindness as one of her own fundamental values in her life. She has made kindness a part of who she really is. She wants no part of being harsh, and in her wisdom she has learned that kindness promotes godliness. She has also learned that kindness breaks down barriers, and kindness encourages other people, especially her own family. Kindness promotes healthy relationships. But it's not just an understanding of kindness that she has. She teaches kindness to other people. Did you get that? You know who the best teachers in this world are? Godly women. It's always been that way. I believe that to be true with every fiber of my being. You know, the real motivation of a teacher, how many of you ever had a bad teacher? Okay, you understand what a bad teacher is. They don't care about you in the slightest. They come in, they teach their lesson, they don't even care if you get it. But let me tell you what, godly, strong godly wives, they're not about that. They apply themselves to the teaching because they care about the very thing they're teaching. They care deeply about God, and they're going to get out there, and they're really going to apply themselves to the situation of helping their kids understand, even sometimes helping your husband understand. I'm glad I have a godly wife sometimes to say, "Dan, have you thought about this?" Because you know what? 9 times out of 10, I ain't thought about it. And my wife does a good job in reminding me of those things. I'm looking at the clock, and I'm looking at my sermon. Don't know if I'm going to make it. Then a strong wife, verse 27, watches over her household. The text says that she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Now if you look up "looks well," those two words in the Hebrew, it has to do with leaning forward. Leaning forward. A strong, godly wife promotes family growth. She's constantly looking for ways to move her family to a higher plane. When I think back to my childhood, my mother was always asking me when I got home, "How's school? What'd you learn? What'd you talk about at school?" She was always the one asking me about my understanding of spiritual things. My mother always pushed me to growth. You know what? She was looking well after her house. My mom was the one promoting family time. Now that meant that she'd turn off the TV, and boy, I hated that. Right in the middle of my program, "Oh, it's family time." As a kid, I just didn't see it that way. But looking back as an adult, I realized the great times that we spent together. In many cases, the root of a strong family is a godly wife. Says here that this strong godly wife, she doesn't partake of the bread of idleness. she's a worker. She's not gathered up around the neighborhood coffee pot, engaged in gossip and things that go nowhere. But she's out there working her fingers to the bone. I know many godly women who have done that. Verse 28, the beginning of verse 28 says, "Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also." Her husband and her children, they bless her. Time and time again, a godly woman has given her hands to work that helps her family. She's given them counsel and instruction, and as most mothers and wives do, she's even given them a shoulder to lean on. Most importantly, she has given them love and affection. So the text says, they rise up. In essence, they are moved to action in regard to her. I think about the NFL football. How many people watch football? The guys make a touchdown and they say what? "Hi, Mom." That's what they always say, right? They think about her because, you know what? She's been there for them probably more than a lot of people. Mother's Day is something very important to us. We appreciate our moms. We appreciate our wives. Some men have even went out and bought expensive cars and jewelry to give to their wives to show their appreciation, but I'm not advocating that. I'm advocating a true, heartfelt appreciation to our wives and to our mothers. They bless her, the text says. Bless here has a specific meaning. It means to make straight or level of a path. Now, when I was a little boy, I'm quite sure that I made a few bumps in the road for my mother. And she may argue over the word few. But in blessing these godly women, we try to make their paths smooth. And another word that comes into play in this definition is the word joyful. And I think about some children. I think about some husbands who have made these godly women feel less than joyful. Made them feel, in fact, grieved at their jobs. Men, children, we need to think about the way we treat these godly women. The strong wife excels, verse 28 and 29, says, "And he praises her, saying, 'Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all.'" You know, remember back in a couple of sermons ago when we talked about the fact that a strong godly woman was like a ripening fruit, growing sweeter as time goes by? Here, the writer says, look, a strong godly woman is excelling. Strong godly woman is not a woman who just says, "You know what? I've done my best. This is all I can do. You get what you get." Oh, a strong godly woman never does that. A strong godly woman says, "Hey, how can I do better? How can I make improvements?" He says, "You have risen above them all." We used to get milk from the dairy. The kids don't even know what I'm talking about. Maybe some of the adults don't either. You get a jug of milk from the dairy and the cream rises to the top. Separates. A godly woman does the same thing. She rises to the top. Verse 30 says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. This woman, these strong, godly women, they're not out here standing in front of the mirror all the time primping themselves with all these cosmetics going on. I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm saying that these strong, godly women, they don't spend too much time in front of the mirror because they understand what Peter said, 1 Peter 3 through chapter 3, verses 3 through 4, that your adornment is not an external adornment, but it's an internal thing. Strong, godly women, they know that. And they look to adorn themselves with something that's truly going to make themselves beautiful. And what does the text say, verse 30? They do that by fear and reverence to the Lord. You want to find all you boys that's going to get married someday, all you girls that's going to get married someday, you want to find a beautiful mate, close your eyes and listen to what they think about Jesus. Yeah. Let me wrap up. I'm a few minutes over. Verse 31. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. A strong, godly wife has earned her place. Amen, men? Here the text basically says, don't withhold her the fruit of her hands. I would use another New Testament text says, don't muzzle the ox, but there's no correlation between the ox and the wife. Don't deny her what is due to her. But the context is, take good care of her, to the end that when she is at the city gate, well, earlier we saw the husband at the city gate. He's being honored. He's being respected because the way that she has treated him and lifted him up. And now the text says, hey, godly women, listen to something. When you're at the city gate, you'll be honored and respected among all the people because of the way your family treats you. We might need to work on the way that we treat these precious gifts that God's given to us. Amen? I'm telling you, I'm standing in line for that category. I need to fundamentally understand what it is that God has given me in a strong godly life and be appreciative and treat that gift with honor and dignity and respect. I've not always done that throughout my life. I'm sure working hard at it now. Men, we sing the song of invitation. You have an opportunity to proclaim the fact that you need to do something about the way you're treating your wife. Women, as we sing the song of encouragement, it might be that you might just say, you know what? Man, I need to work with this. Or I failed at this. Or God, just give me wisdom. If there's any way today that we can help you, don't keep it in. Share these things with your brothers and sisters in Christ as we stand.